नमस्ते सबैजना कोचमीको तर्फबाट म भुवन शर्मा फेरि अर्को जेएनजीको सेसन लिएर आएको छु। सो अलिकति अक्वर्ड स्टार्टिङ भयो आज, जुन चाहिँ हाम्रो कोचमीको बटरफ्लाई थियो त्यसलाई चाहिँ सायद श्रीनाले उडाउनु बिर्सिया छ, तर द्याट्स पर्फेक्टली फाइन, कि मेरोमा मात्र देखेन थाहा छैन राइट। आज चाहिँ हाम्रो गेस्ट हुनुहुन्छ माया खान, माया लुना खान। यो नाममा पनि अलिकति हामी पछि डिटेलमा जाउँला, लुना चाहिँ किन के हो यसको अर्थ पनि बुझ्न अलि इच्छा लागेकै हो। अलिकति नर्भस एक्साइटेड पनि छु किनभने मायाजीलाई चाहिँ हाम्रो टिम मेम्बर जीले चाहिँ कन्ट्याक्ट गरेर गर्नुभयो। सो आई ह्याभ भेरी लिटल नलेज अबाउट हु सी इज वाट सी डज। मैले उहाँको इन्स्टाग्राम चाहिँ अलिअलि फलो गरेको थिएँ, अलिअलि पोस्टहरू हेरेको थिएँ, सो आई ह्याभ लिटल बिट अफ एन आइडिया, तर त्यति छैन। सो इट विल बी भेरी इन्ट्रेस्टिङ फर मी एज वेल। सो सी इज अ वुमन फ्रम काठमाडौँ एन्ड मिलान, होइन, अनि सी इज पर्स्युइङ हर स्टडिज इन इङ्ग्लिस लिटरेचर अनि क्रिएटिभ राइटिङमा पनि सी इज भेरी इन्ट्रेस्टेड भन्ने चाहिँ मैले थाहा पाएको छु, अनि इन्भल्भ इन वर्ल्ड अफ आर्ट्स। दिस इज भेरी ब्रोड, यसलाई हामी अझ डाइसेक्ट गर्दै विल गो इन टु वाट द्याट एक्चुली मिन्स। सी इज अल्सो अ मोडल एन्ड एन एक्ट्रेस, अनि सी इज डिपली प्यासनेट अबाउट हिमालयन आर्ट्स एन्ड टेक्सटाइल्स। मलाई यो बारेमा पनि केही पनि थाहा छैन, सो विल गेट इन टु द्याट एज वेल, होइन। अनि सी इज एन एडभोकेट फर इको फ्रेन्डली हाइजिन एन्ड माइन्डफुल कन्जम्सन, विच इज भेरी इन्ट्रेस्टिङ, अनि भेरी के भन्यो अहिले अहिलेको एकदमै रिलेटेबल टपिक पनि हो। सो दिज आर हर ब्याकग्राउन्ड्स, होइन। अनि यो इन्ट्रोडक्सन भन्दा चाहिँ मेबी मैले दिइरहनु भन्दा पनि मेबी विल जस्ट फाइन्ड आउट who Maya is from her herself, you know. Let's just introduce Maya and let's welcome Maya on the screen, please.
Hi. Hello,
hi,
everyone.
Maya.
So,
how are you?
Good. I'm really looking forward to this because, as you said, your team member who referred me is my cousin. And so I've heard a lot about this.
Nice. अनि मैले जुन इन्ट्रोडक्सन दिएको थिएँ मेबी इट वाजन्ट जस्टिफाइड, होइन, अनि हाउ वुड यु इन्ट्रोड्युस योरसेल्फ?
सो आई गेस मेरो एकदम आइडेन्टिटी बिल्ड गर्ने कम्पोनेन्ट्स चाहिँ इट्स द्याट आई एम मल्टाइनेसनल, सो आई एम बोथ इटालियन एन्ड नेपाली मेरो हार्टमा, एन्ड आई हेभ अल्सो लिभ्ड बिट्विन बोथ वर्ल्ड्स, आई हेभ स्पेन्ड टाइम इन बोथ प्लेसेस. And so both really feel like home mero lagi. Ani ma aile chai bhakar boarding school ma high school sakaera Nepal farkeko, and so I'm sort of beginning to explore the world on my own, and yeah, this so. And okay, right now hajur
hajur please go ahead.
होइन, अहिले चाहिँ बोर्डिङ स्कुलमा हुने बेलामा इट वाज माई बिग विस टु कम ब्याक टु लिभ इन नेपाल. आई डिड बोर्डिङ स्कुल इन स्विट्जरल्यान्ड, अनि म एकदम नेपाललाई मिस गरिरहेको थिएँ, सो मैले अनलाइन युनिभर्सिटी चुज गरेँ, अनि त्यही तपाईँले भन्नुभएको जस्तो म अहिले इङ्ग्लिस लिटरेचर एन्ड क्रिएटिभ राइटिङ पढिरहेको छु. नेपालमा त सिन्स बर्थ नै हो, तर हाम्रो एभ्री इयर चाहिँ यस्तो 4 months जति इटलीमा वी वुड स्टे देयर. हजुर, अनि आई स्टेड अब्रोड फर 4 years एज वेल, एन्ड आई जस्ट केम ब्याक लाइक अ इयर अगो.
ओके, just before the lockdown ki
a little bit before, like last November, not bakar gaeko November, tyo bhanda agadi.
Okay, nice. Okay, bakar gaeko November haina ki tyo bhanda agadi. Aile bakar tapaile jun tyo labels haru garnu bhanthe, so yo sabai labels harulai side ma rakhne ho chha, who is Maya?
कस्तो गाह्रो प्रश्न. इट्स खै मेरो लागि माया इज जस्ट um, Because I'm very simple, I think. I really enjoy the small, simple things in life. And for me, I am like the components in my life. So I am my friends and I am my interests and I am the things that I study and the things that I do. Yeah.
Okay, beautifully said. Friends, you are the things that you study. Everything around is you, right?
Yeah, or I guess I am everything that is around me. It's the other way around. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. You've also said you're involved in the world of art. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, so my mom is deals with Himalayan arts. And so I've always been sort of introduced to this world ever since I was a baby. And I've been made familiar with Nepali, in particular Newari art and higher Himalayan statues, woodwork and textiles and things like that. And so I guess I'm very interested in that part of the world of the arts more than contemporary. I'm very interested in handmade ancient techniques of weaving or wood carving. I don't do them myself. I don't do much myself, but I'm interested in watching and learning and collecting.
Okay, watching, learning, and collecting. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, जुन यो लकडाउनको पिरियड थियो नि त इट वाज हार्ड अन अल अफ अस होइन हामी झन्डै झन्डै 11-12 months चाहिँ फोर्स मोस्टली इन्डोर्स हामी सबैजना त त्यति इन्डोर्स बसेनौँ होला सो हाउ यु डेल्ट विथ द लकडाउन पिरियड होइन अनि हाउ हेज इट हेल्प्ड यु द लकडाउन
सो मेरो लागि त यस्तो घरमा बसेर यस्तो चिल गर्नु चाहिँ गाह्रो लागेन किनभने इट म्याचेस माई पर्सनालिटी एकदम आई रियली एन्जोय स्टेइङ एट होम डुइङ स्मल लिटल लाइक होम खालको एक्टिभिटिज आई रियली एन्जोय गोइङ आउट एज वेल तर आई इट वाजन्ट हेभी फर मी के फर धेरै मान्छेको लागि गाह्रो थियो नि यस्तो दिनभरि घर बस्नु तर फर मी आई रियली फाउन्ड वेज अफ इन्टरटेनिङ माइ सेल्फ अनि Since I have online university, that gave me some structure. And around that, I'm really reconnected with my body. And so I did like a lot of movement things, such as yoga, but also I did like an online one-on-one sort of course. Called in Italian, it's danza sensibile, which translates to sensitive dancing, I guess. But the name doesn't really give it much meaning. It's like a way of moving in some very archaic and primordial shapes. So very like so it really reconnects you with the animal structure that you have, So that was very powerful for me.
Okay, that was very powerful for you. अनि तपाईँले भन्नु पनि भयो कि फर यो
Wait, sorry, you blocked. You're frozen.
can you hear
Okay,
me
you're
now?
back now. Yes, you're back.
Right. मैले त्यो अघि भनिरहेको थिएँ नि इन्टरनेट कनेक्सन प्रब्लम चाहिँ दिस इज वाट ह्यापन वान सेकेन्ड मायाजीले चाहिँ अघि भन्नुभएको थियो कि फर योर पर्सनालिटी स्टेइङ इन्डोर्स वाज इन्ट अ बिग प्रब्लम राइट
Yeah.
सो
किनभने आई सॉरी गो अहेड
प्लिज प्लिज
सो एज आई मेन्शन्ड अर्लियर आई वाज इन अ बोर्डिङ स्कुल फर 4 years एन्ड इट वाज एकदम रिमोट खालको बोर्डिङ स्कुल इन द मिडल अफ द माउन्टेन्स खालको एन्ड सो देयर वी हेड टु रिलाई अ लट अन आवर सेल्भ्स टु इन्टरटेन लाइक टु फाइन्ड वेज अफ स्पेन्डिङ टाइम बिसाइड्स फर क्लास एन्ड बिसाइड्स फर एक्टिभिटिज एन्ड सो त्यति बेला लकडाउनको बेलामा चाहिँ आई फेल लाइक I could really give time to the things that I enjoy doing, like reading or writing, or even just not doing much. You know, sometimes amro normal life mata, I feel like we don't have enough time where we are bored, you know. And so I always find some useful thing in being bored. Kinabane, it's your own responsibility not to be bored, I guess, you know. So if you're bored, it's like something's asking you, like, so what can you do? What are you not, like, what could you be, you know, trying new, or what could you be going back to, you know?
So what could you be going back to? So basically what you're telling is, what you're saying is, if I feel bored, it's my body trying to tell me that I need to change something, I need to do something else.
Yeah, or maybe there's something that you haven't been doing for a while, you know, like, just ma poila poila, I used to read maybe one book every 2 days, or, you know, I used to be such a fast reader. Every moment I had a book in my hand. And then since university started, and since I had more work to do, I completely stopped reading. I think ek barsa ko lagi maile school ko kitab baik, I didn't touch any book huncha ni. And so lockdown ko belama, I sort of went back to that, and it felt really good because that was such a big part of my personality which was missing. And also, I used to just, you know, go through books, just picture books or research books, just for fun, to see something new. And it had been almost a year since I had, you know, fed this part of my soul, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. So I gave you an opportunity to go back to reading, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, not only reading, just being in that like calm state of mind, just not much to do, something that I had missed since my early teenage days, I guess, you know. So it reminded me of my childhood a lot.
Okay, it reminded you of your childhood a lot. Ani tapailai chha alikati calm state of mind ma pani lera gayo thiyo, haina, ani what does that actually do? When you're in that calm state of mind, what does that actually give you?
I think it really gives me space to be creative, because often it's not that I don't have the time to write, or I have the time to do everything, but I don't have the mental emptiness, I guess. You know, there's always something, oh, what will I do tomorrow? What do I have to have ready for, you know, next week? There's always something going on. And since I didn't have that in the lockdown, you know, there was nothing to think about what to do tomorrow, what to plan for next week, nothing like that. And so I had more space to be creative. Yeah.
Okay. You had more space to be creative. Kinabhane boli ke garnu parcha bhanne chai, you didn't have to worry about it.
No worries, sort of. No background noise, huncha ni. Yeah.
Okay. No background noise. Any noise ko kura gardakheri chai, I read your Insta post. One of your Insta post where you said, when 2020 began, I took the executive decision to end the little voice in my head.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that, because that sounded quite interesting.
So I guess at the beginning of 2020, it was ekdam a new life for me, because I graduated from high school, and then I was, you know, taking slowly more sovereignty on my life. More, I can decide more what to do, and more take more responsibility step by step. And so before that, something that I'd been really blocked by is very low self-esteem and a very like negative image on my own body. And that's something that came up. I didn't always have this, but then, you know, becoming, after being 14, 15 years old, I started feeling, you know, more analyzing myself or how I am aesthetically, you know, and I really didn't like my body either. I didn't like living in my body for no, this, and, you know, discomfort like this never has any real reason, And so when 2021 began, 2021 began, I was like, this is my own little voice telling me that I'm not beautiful or that I'm ugly, you know. And so I really actively stopped the negative self-talk. And yeah, and that has been going on. That has been, I mean, it's a very tough journey, but it's, you know, every day is easier. Yeah.
Okay, it's a tough journey that every day it becomes easier, right? And it's also something that a lot of us go through. So you stopped the negative voices, you said, Aina.
Before, if I'd look at myself in the mirror and I'd see something that I feel insecure about, I could hear myself telling me that this is ugly, you know, or this isn't nice. And then I started saying, being more neutral, like, it is what it is. And like, my body functions, everything works well. And I'm really grateful for that. And everything else begins to seem trivial after a bit, almost ridiculous, you know, to have that thought.
Okay. Almost ridiculous to have that talk. So do you actually do a bit of a self-talk with yourself, or what's your strategy there?
No, I don't do that, looking at yourself in the mirror and telling me you're good, you're gonna, I don't really do that, even though they say it's very effective. I guess I have to try it. But I guess when I'm feeling high, because you can feel high and then you feel low. When I'm feeling high, I'm remember this feeling. Remember that you feel worthy, and remember that you feel radiant, and remember that you feel, even though you don't feel that right now, remember that you have felt that way, you know? So that's how I take it.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Talking about feeling high, tapaiko chahi, if you look back at, your last 5 years, three things that you've achieved that you think
Wow, so three things. Okay, so let me begin with the most cheesy one. In the past 5 years, I guess most of that time was spent in my boarding school. And my boarding school was really my childhood dream to go there. It was something that I really, really wanted. And so when I got accepted there, based on my own merits and based on how, who I am, I guess, because that school doesn't really care for grades. They care for who you are as a person, and they don't judge you on how intelligent or unintelligent you are on paper in tests, they don't judge you at all, really, but they so my school's slogan is become who you are. And I know it's really cheesy, but I really think that I found my core, and that is something that I'm really proud of. I know what I like, and I know what I don't like, and I know how I want to live and how I want to spend my time. I know what it feels to feel good and to feel loved and to feel nurtured from that school. And so that is a big achievement. And I think knowing this feeling at such a young age is very, very resourceful, because many people only have the opportunity to find themselves this way much later in life, when they retire, and then they regret it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. You've also talked about literature and creative writing, right? So why is literature and writing so important for you?
So, I've always been a reader, even I was a kid, I used to really enjoy reading. I didn't write as much. I started writing only when I was like 13, 14 or so. And I guess writing comes as a byproduct of reading, you know. If you read your whole life and you if you read so much, it's bound to be writing is bound to become the way in which you express yourself, I guess. So it sort of came naturally that way. But I guess at some point, especially when in your early teenage years, you really feel the need to express yourself. And that's when, if you're lucky enough, you're given the opportunity to explore many various tools, and then you find which is your way of expressing yourself. And I think I was lucky enough to be given many opportunities to find what my how to channel my voice.
Okay, how to channel your voice, but what do you think attracted you to writing to express yourself?
So I remember this very particular moment in which I wrote something out of the need to write something and not because it was a school assignment. And that was when I was 14 years old, and I had been studying a subject called Holocaust and Human Behavior. And for our listeners or our watchers here who don't know what the Holocaust is, it's an event. It's how you can call what happened during the Second World War, and that is the genocide of Jewish people mainly, but also homosexuals or intellectuals or anybody that was against the government at that time. And my family, being Jewish, was heavily affected by this by the Holocaust, and it was an extremely taboo and traumatic subject to talk about in my family. And so taking this course on the Holocaust and on human behavior really like unchained some emotions that were very repressed at that time. And I wrote something that was something like me processing the fact, you know, what happened to my family and what happened to my people in general. And after that, I showed that poem to one of my closest friends, Nara, who's an incredible photographer and artist. And she's a writer as well. And I showed her this poem, and it was the first time I showed anyone something so personal. And she thought that there was something. She thought that she was moved by what I had written. And after that, I guess I explored writing more. Yeah.
So after that, we explored writing more. Yeah, beautiful. So if you were given an option of, expressing or writing an essay or giving a presentation, right, speaking verbally, which one would you choose and why? Like giving a verbal presentation versus writing.
So now I would choose to do a verbal presentation because being verbal and I mean being oral vocal has been something that I've always felt very blocked in, and it's something that it all throughout my school life and in my life in general, speaking was extremely difficult for me because of a lot of confusion regarding language, because I have three mother tongues and I'm not 100% comfortable in either of them, you know. And so speaking was always is always something very emotional because I make a lot of mistakes in all of the languages that I speak because none of them are mine 100%. I have no language that is that I can feel as mine. And so that's why speaking was always very difficult, either in Nepali or in Italian. Even though I know the languages, I know the words, I know the grammar, I know everything, but it's like a very strong emotional block. And English became like, I guess, as is for many people my generation in Nepal, English has become our mother tongue. And especially because we are so many of us are international. And the world around us is in English. It's so writing in English became the easiest thing for me because it was without emotion, without judgment. We are all foreign to English, you know? And so that's how I found comfort in writing in English, even though it's not my mother tongue. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. I'm curious, when you say you are an advocate for eco-friendly hygiene and mindful consumption, can you please elaborate?
So I think that these are all terms that might be overused right now because they're very trendy, you know, like be mindful, be eco-friendly. It's all very trendy. And I don't know how much of the people behind the trend are really doing it, and I question myself as well. But I think, you know, now when I think of my future generation, my direct future generation, so the children that I'm going to have, it's a very, very it's a very frightening world when it comes to like environmental prospects. And so I feel like we are already extremely late in changing our lifestyle, in changing how we buy, how we use, how we consume every single thing, from our clothes to everything, you know, every single thing. We are already in such a dangerous path that I think that, you know, sometimes when you think, okay, I'll do something for the environment, it feels like a drop of rain in the ocean. But I think it begins with the way you think, you know, the way you decide what to buy or what not to buy or what companies you're giving your money to, you know, what ideologies are you giving your money to? Every cent is important now. And it's not an exaggeration. I mean, like, people don't want to accept that every action has a consequence, but it does, you know. And especially now that we are at such a drastic period with the environment and with how mindlessly we use the resources that are so limited and how mindlessly we kill and how mindlessly we just put cement over everything, you know. It's something that is extremely painful for me to see because I am someone who definitely wants to have children and I have nieces and I have nephews, you know. And I it's a very emotional topic for me, actually. Yeah.
Okay, it's an emotional topic for you. Yeah. And keep any bond, Bonnie. It's extremely late. So is it time for us? Give up?
No, I think never give up. Never give up. Adapt, but never give up. Yeah. You can change and you can adapt and you can be prepared for what's coming, but giving up, why? I think.
Okay. Yeah. Adapt, but never give up. Okay. So an individual who says, what can one individual do? What would you suggest that kind of a person who says, you know,
So I'm not sure I'm qualified enough to answer this, but for me, you know, every time we buy something, that money goes back many steps. You know, it's if I go buy something in Bad Bhatini, if I go buy a Nestle product in Bad Bhatini, some people might think they're just giving money to Bad Bhatini, but they're giving money to Nestle at the end. And then you like Nestle, just to make an example, but this goes for every single thing that we buy, you know. If we buy, say, this product for 100 rupees, it doesn't really cost 100 rupees. It costs, it costs the time it takes for a person to make it, and it costs the resources that you're using to make it, and it costs so many other things that we don't even take in consideration. And maybe I would say begin to take in consideration all the steps the product you take goes back to, and who is making money out of you spending it, and who is dying from you buying it, you know, because there's so much dirtiness going around in the behind the scenes of the products that we buy, not only on a human level, you know, even on an environmental level or just an ideological level. Everything, every time you buy something, you give life to something and you kill something else. And you need to decide what your priorities are, I think.
Okay. So that's mindful consumption, right? So you need to be mindful of...
That's my take. That's my take on mindful consumption. And it's personal for everyone, I think. And people can decide to be mindful on something and not on something. You know, it's when you be mindful consumption to what you can, you know. It's not that you have to do everything, because it's not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility to save the planet or to stop child labor, but it's but do what you can, I think, you know. That sort of I would encourage that sort of thought process, you know, like, where in my life can I, you know, be closer to my truth in everything?
Okay, where in my life I can be closer to my truth in everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it makes a lot of sense to me. So instead of looking at the whole big picture of saving the world or the stopping child,
you know, that's actually, sorry if I interrupt, but in many people feel like it's my responsibility that pollution stops and everything. And that's actually something that will make you close down, because if you begin with such a big goal, then how are you gonna, you know, like, begin from the small thing which you can do and which you can do consistently and which you can sustain, you know. Otherwise it's so frightening and it's paralyzing. Actually, to be young at this day and age is paralyzing, I think, because we grow up in so much fear of so many things that no human ever has had the fear of, I think, you know, like nuclear wars or like biochemical like attacks, you know, like things like that, which people haven't really had to be scared of before. Now we are scared of that because it's such a present and pressing reality, and fear is a method of control as well. And so that's also something to be mindful of, I think.
Okay, fear is a method of control as well. And I like what you said about, you know, having smaller goals. I think you, global issues or environmental issues are matra applicable with any goals, right? You cannot look at, should focus on tiny steps at a time.
Even in your own personal life goals, I guess, or your daily goals, you know, I guess always begin with what is small, what is possible, what is doable, and then build from that.
Yeah. Okay. What is possible and then build from that. Ani, how long have you been in the modeling and acting industry?
So professionally, it's been just a year, actually. Yeah. I started it around February last year with a music video for Phosphines called Night. And then right after that, the lockdown happened. But thankfully, I still managed to work here and there, even during, not during the first lockdown, but during the less strict lockdowns. Yeah. And I never really know what my next work is at the moment with when it comes to modeling. But how it's been so far for a year, one work finishes and give it like a matter of a week or so, and then another one comes up, you know, which is also fine for me now because I have so many other things going on that I couldn't pursue it as a full-time thing anyways.
Okay. Okay, you can pursue it as a full-time thing anyway. But how has the industry been for you?
I have a lot of criticism for the industry, but I think that it's this way everywhere, you know, not just in Nepal. It's just how it is. It's so, like, my criticism isn't specific to my personal, like, experience with Nepal, but more like thoughts that working has provoked in me. But if I were to be precise, in Nepal, I think there's a lot of unethical behavior when it comes to paying, like, money, and so valuing the model's time with money, because people here think that modeling is just like this thing that doesn't take effort. You just stand in front of the camera and, like, do nothing. But it's not like that. It takes a lot of work before, during, after, and people in Nepal tend to not monetize this. They don't see it as a real job, so they just think that they think it's okay to ask you to work just like this for free, just because you exist. And I'm like, I'm shocked by this. But apparently this doesn't just happen in Nepal, and it doesn't just happen for modeling. It happens everywhere for everything. And so it's just like something that working has, I don't know, I could never bring myself to ask someone to work for free for the whole day. You know, it's so this, in this aspect, I have a lot of criticism, because it's just insulting to whomever's, it's just insulting on both ways. Like, you're insulting me as a model, as a, not as a model, as someone who's working, you know, as someone who's monetizing their time. And you're also insulting yourself, because you're like, oh, like, like, you're asking someone to work for you without giving anything in exchange. And they tell you, oh, you'll get, like, visibility, you'll get, like, notoriety. But that's not, first of all, that's not why I'm doing it when it comes to modeling in specific. And second of all, that's not, like, an excuse for anything if you're, you know, asking someone who's monetizing their time to give you their time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Malai chahi kata kata tyo 9-10 पढ्दाखेरि चाहिँ हाम्रो रिलेटिभ्सहरूमा पनि हुन्थ्यो कि कसैले घर बनाउन लगाइरहेछ भने एउटा रिलेटिभ इन्जिनियर छ उसले घरको डिजाइन बनाइदिइहाल्छ नि किन इन्जिनियर हायर गर्नु
पर्यो
फ्रीमा यु गेट अ डिजाइन भन्ने एब्सोल्युटली ट्रु सो व्हाट वुड योर सजेसन बी टु यङ गर्ल्स एन्ड बोइज हु आर कन्सिडरिङ यु नो मोडलिङ एज ए प्रोफेसन म चाहिँ मोडल भन्छु योर सजेसन वुड बी
My suggestion is, first of all, to always, always be aware of your mental health, because this is an industry that can make you feel very objectified and also very valued only for your body and only for what you look like. And also you'll hear criticism, you know, like, oh, like, you gained weight. You know, maybe you're somebody who isn't affected by this sort of comment. But if you are someone who's affected by this sort of comment, then be mindful that you will feel criticism or judgment or just anything, an opinion on your body, on your aesthetic, on what you look like. And so some people have a hard time with this. And so, aware of your mental health, and if you're seeing that you're not comfortable with, you know, maybe working at the moment because you feel like it's affecting your mental health negatively, then take a step back. And then also another thing, ekdamai be careful for predators. You know, there are, like, a lot of creepy people out there in general, but also, like, creepy photographers. They exist and they're gross, and, like, they'll be like, oh, I'll do your like portfolio shoot or something, and then you can be make sure you don't go to places alone if it's, like, you know, first time. So because Photographer to model is a deeply intimate relationship, because you need it's a very intimate relationship because you need to communicate, talk, and be close to each other, and so make sure that you know who you are working with, and inform yourself on who you're working with. If a photographer or anyone asks you, I'd like to do a shoot with you, this, so ask around who this person is, how is their behavior. It doesn't matter if their photos are nice. It's not worth having a nice photo and going through that uncomfortable or feeling unsafe. It's not worth it. That's my advice.
Okay, that's your advice. Nice advice. मलाई चाहिँ थाहा पनि थिएन
Oh.
यतिसम्म कन्सर्न हुनुपर्छ भनेर. सो कुनै फोटोग्राफरसँग काम गर्दैछौ नि, उसको बारेमा चाहिँ अलिकति रिसर्च गर.
If it's your friend, if it's like this, if you know who it is, then it's your own decision. But if it's like a photographer, maybe even if they have a name, if they're famous, it doesn't mean anything. So really, if it's a new person that you're working with, you don't know them personally, and you have nothing to judge whether it's like a good decision or not, ask maybe like the models that they have worked with, how they felt, were they comfortable, did they feel respected, did they feel, safe.
Okay, nice question. Maya, if you could travel back in time and go back maybe 5 or 6 years, maybe be a bit more specific. Eh? Let's say you could travel back 6 years, you know? Ani, Maya of today travels back 6 years and gives life suggestions to Maya of then.
Okay.
Okay?
So 6 years
What
ago was 2015, right?
2015, yeah.
Yes, sorry. I'm very bad at math, embarrassingly bad at math. But so the Maya of 2015 was actually a very blooming Maya because I had just gotten a full scholarship to my dream school in 2015. So it's like a golden time in my life. Even though there was the earthquake in Nepal, like 2015 was a year of so much unexpected change, and some of it was very good, like even I got accepted, I got a late admission, a late acceptance to my dream school that year because of the earthquake, actually, because so in some way or the other, I would tell Maya of 2015 that there is turbulence ahead, but it's all gonna be good. Like at the end, I think I'm actually very proud of 2015 Maya because 2015 Maya took some decisions of on her own life that I'm very glad about today. And so I think I'd tell 2015 Maya, good job and go ahead like you're doing now. Continue like this. Don't let yourself be pulled down.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Don't let yourself be pulled down. All the prof like everything that you do, from art to modeling to acting and all of that, how are they making you a better person?
Okay, so I don't know whether they're making me a better person, but they're definitely making me feel whole. They make me feel complete in some way because they're not separate careers or separate interests, they all weave into each other, and they all, maybe an experience that I learn while I'm hunting for art with my mother, goes to feed how I read a book, or how I read a book goes to decide on how I want to, you know, pose, or, you know, so, you know, it's all like connected in some way. And I think they're all deeply connected because I feel so deeply alive when I'm involved in these, when I'm doing these things, you know, I feel very sparked. And I sort of forgot the question you asked me. Oh, I got carried away.
That's okay. It happens to me as well. I keep forgetting the question you asked. So the question was basically, whatever you're doing, how is that making
you? Oh, yeah. How are they making me a better person? So they're making me a person. They're not making me a better person. They're just making me a person, I think. You know, they're, because I don't think I can judge whether I am a better or worse person than I was before or that I'm ever going to be. But I know that all these things that I do, they make me feel like I am someone that, you know, that has, I don't know, someone who I'm, who I like to be, because I like the things that I'm involved in, you know, and they make me feel, they make me feel grounded, and they make me feel like, you know, I have something to wake up to do, and like, there's always something here and there. And sorry, I got a message. I hope that didn't distract the audio. Yeah, so they're making me a person. That's how I would answer it, I guess.
Okay, they're making you a person. Good or bad is not relevant.
I wouldn't know how to judge that.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Fairness, what does that mean for you?
Fairness? There are many meanings to that word. There's being fair as in light-skinned, or there is being fair as in being someone who can take many aspects of a situation in consideration, and then when they are fair, they, you know, they can take level-headed decisions. You know, being fair is being organic and being natural, you know, being what it's seeing how it's finding the middle point that serves all parties good, being fair. It's not finding a middle point where then someone is unhappy. That is not being fair. Being fair is finding a way to bring everyone on the same field in a way that everyone feels happy that they're on that field, I think.
Okay. All right, so bringing everyone on the same level field, right? So it's fair,
yeah,
for
finding
everyone.
Finding something that is good for everyone, or that is acceptable by everyone, but without resentment, so that people are happy to accept. They're like, okay, this is good. You know, it might not be 100% what they wanted, but they realize that it's the best thing to do, so that everybody feels like, okay, this is good. You know?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you find mysterious about life?
Some things that I find mysterious about life. Okay, one thing that has been that I've been really finding mysterious in a good way, though, is how is it that every time I feel like I really need something, or I really need an energy or a presence in my life, it just happens. It manifests. You know, it, like, that is something which I find mysterious. Like, I'm at awe in life when I, you know, like, you think something and you're like, oh, I really wish that I could, you know, incorporate this or this aspect in my life. You know, I wish that, you know, I had like something maybe that I had time to do this, or I had the opportunity to do this. And then somehow or another, it happens. And that I find extremely mysterious. I think that
Wow.
it's a lot of will, my willpower, but it's also like just, I don't know, something mysterious.
Yeah, okay, willpower and then something mysterious. So,
Yeah, that combination I really like. Yeah.
it's almost like life giving you what you need and what you want, right?
It's like me realizing what I need and what I want, and then somehow it happens, you know? Yeah. But that cannot happen if I don't realize what I want or what I need.
True. True. Earlier, you talked about focusing on your speaking skills so that you can express yourself better emotionally, right? Why is that so important, you think?
I think because we live in a time, I don't know if it's always been like this, but I've only been alive now and I can only say how I experience it now, but I feel very distant. I feel very emotionally distant from a lot of the people that I love and a lot of the people that I'm in contact with, but also just with humans in general, you know, I don't find it easy to be emotional or be open about my emotions or be emotionally passionate about something. You know, I don't, even though I want to, and even though I think it's the best thing to be, it's something that doesn't come easy to me. And I think it's because I am so used to communicating through text or through email or through something that isn't all face to face. Many of the times when I communicate things that are important to me, I find it so much easier to communicate it through a well-written, earnest, honest text message than saying it face to face, you know, and that's something that I don't appreciate about me. And being used to communicate in this way because of the media and because of the communication tools that we are all used to by now. Yeah.
Okay. And what are some of the things you can do to change that?
One thing is, so when I realize that I want to say something that it for me is emotionally heavy to someone, before I'd keep it to myself, and now I force myself to say it. And I was just having this conversation with a really close friend of mine about how confronting is difficult. And I was just telling her, like, just before our call, that when something feels difficult like this, then it is when I think, okay, Maya, you really have to do it at this point, you know, like, even though it's difficult. It's even more difficult not to do it in the long term, I think.
Okay, it's even more difficult not to do it in the long term. So when you find something that's challenging you, you feel like you have to do it.
Yeah, because the more time I feel challenged by this thing, the more personal loss it is for me, I guess, right? So the quicker I try to get over it, the better, I think, even though it's very difficult. Or very awkward and very unelegant, you know, but at least it's a beginning. Yeah.
But at least it's a beginning. And
Yeah.
this brings back to what you said earlier as well, right? About solving global problems. You take one step at a time. It's difficult, you just take tiny steps.
Yeah.
Perfect. What are some of your most powerful beliefs or self-beliefs?
So I think, you know, everything, well, every action has a consequence, you know, whether be it good or bad or neutral, every action has a consequence. And I try to be actionable in a way that I embrace the consequences that those actions will have, you know. And like, another firm belief that I have is that, I mean, this is pretty basic, to be honest, but I try not to do to another person what I wouldn't want to be done to me, you know? And that's how I sort of, most religions actually have this concept. And even though I'm not religious, I still believe in this concept because it's a human concept which people have attached to religion, I think, you know. And so I try to lead my life in that way where I can. Yeah.
Where you can.
Where I'm conscious about it, where I'm conscious about it. You know, some things that you do without knowing unconsciously, but where I am conscious, I try to be this way. Yeah.
Okay. You try to be this way whenever you're conscious about it. You've talked about mindful consumption. What do you spend most of your money on? Something that you can talk about here.
Okay. Yeah. So lately, I guess I've been really redirecting the beauty products that I use. So mainly, what to say? I don't spend a lot of money in general. I'm not a person. I'm not like a crazy spender. I spend a lot of my money on my education. And in my education, I mean concerts, gigs, museums. It's not just books and university, you know. My term for education is broad. And that is the thing that I'm happiest spending money on. I will never regret spending money on you know, a beautiful exhibition or, you know, something like that, that I'll never regret spending my money. I do regret spending my money on fast fashion, on fast consumption, anything. I do regret it when sometimes I'm just, you know, tempted and I do it. And then after I think I could have not done that. And I spend a lot of money, not a lot, I mean, relative, on a lot on my own scale, a lot of money on good food, I guess, you know, food that isn't processed. And sadly, even though it doesn't have any reason, all these like organic things are like, they're all unnecessarily overpriced, which pisses me off. But at the same time, I'd rather be spending that slightly overpriced thing than buying a corporate, like, you know, corporate soulless food. Yeah.
Okay. You basically don't mind spending money on education. You've said you don't regret spending money on education. Why is education so high up on your list of priorities?
So from my maternal family, my mom's family, I think we are all people who very happily invest on our education and each other's education as well. I think this comes very much from my great-grandmother because she was a countryside person from Italy, and so in the 20s. And so she really, I guess she really struggled, you know, to get herself an education, and she really valued that. She really valued the way you nurture yourself, you know. And so even in my grandmother, and then how my grandmother raised her kids and how her kids raised me and my sister, they really like prioritize us finding things that we feel passionate about. So my sister is a photographer, and she's so interested in so many other things. And so also what education is for her is a very broad sense, you know. Maybe a vacation is educative, you know, or, you know, so yeah, this is a very difficult thing to answer also because both my grandmother, my great-grandma, all like the women in my family, were perceived as beautiful at their time. My grandmother, my sister, everyone, my aunts, my mom, they were all perceived as beautiful. And so my great-grandmother always really put pressure in the fact that because you are perceived as beautiful, you have to show that you're something other than your beauty. Because often when you are a person who's perceived as beautiful, they think that that's the only thing that you are. And so it's not easy to show that you are other things as well. And so my great-grandmother, the sort of the culture that she set in our family is that first you show what you're interested in, how you cultivate your mind, what your culture is, what you read, what you watch, what's the culture that you consume, and then only you can be beautiful, sort of, you know. But she was like, because you're a beautiful, perceived as beautiful, you have the responsibility to show that you are so much more.
Okay, because you're perceived as beautiful, you have the responsibility to show that you're so much more. Nicely yeah. said. suppose, 5 years from now or 10 years from now, why am I giving options? I should just stick to one. 10 years from now.
10 years from now.
10 years from now, you're hired as a consultant by Education Minister of Nepal. What are some of the mm-hmm. things that you change immediately, in terms of Nepali education?
I would throw away everything that we have now, I guess, and go back to seeing what is a fun way to learn, what makes people want to learn. Because how I have experienced school here and how most of my friends have experienced school is a forceful thing. And so since it feels forceful, just because of that childish teenager rebellious spirit, we want to not do it, sort of, you know what I mean? And it's seen as something that we have to do rather than something that we want to do. And if you think about it, being educated is something that you want, right? You want to be educated. You want to be able to navigate this world, and you want to be skillful, and you want to be able to recognize what you're good at and how to apply that. And so I would change this forceful sort of, you have to study this because it's in the syllabus, because the government is telling you you have to study this. I would change it and I'd try to find an educational system in which it can be more personal and it can be more useful at the end to the student and not as mechanical. Here, I remember that we had to study so many things just by heart and I didn't see the value of that really. Because that wasn't a way which was useful or exciting or anything for me. It was just boring and I hated it. I hated school, like with my whole heart, even though I love educating myself. And there's such a big difference between that, you know? And so I would tell the education minister to change the method in which things are being taught, change the dynamic. First of all, change the dynamic in the classroom. Find a system in which the teacher is a source, like a golden source of information rather than this authoritative figure that will hit you if you don't do your homework, you know? That's not who a teacher is supposed to be. And I don't think that most of the teachers that I experienced were qualified to be teachers, actually. In my experience here, I only had one teacher who I thought was qualified to be a teacher, to be honest. And I don't think my principal was qualified to be a principal either. You know, like, they were all unqualified. And I'm not saying that they were people without skills. They must have been people with skills. They must have been people with talent. But our education system is set in a way that the teacher isn't allowed or isn't given space to show their skill or to show what they as humans are good at, you know, because they're forced to teach a certain book in a certain way at a certain time without taking in consideration who they are and who the students are. And so that's my biggest criticism.
Okay, but if you had to, you know, make a decision, okay, three things, you know, like I'll get rid of this, I'll implement this, I'll get rid of this. So if you had to bullet point those.
First of all, I'd probably get rid of English medium schools. I think they are the ruin of my generation. I don't know one person who's my age that can make a fluent, comprehensible argument in Nepali without putting a single English word. I haven't seen that in anyone who's been in an English medium school. And that is the biggest, that is my biggest shame as a Nepali person, that we didn't do this interview in Nepali. That's my biggest shame. And not only that we didn't do this in Nepali, but that I am not able to do this in Nepali, even though I went my whole life school in Nepal, you know. That's my biggest shame as a student, as a Nepali person, as just everything. And so English medium schools, I'd just like ban them because I think it's just obvious why we are losing so much. We are losing our the ability to express ourselves emotionally in our mother tongue. None of my friends know how to express their emotions in Nepali. And the consequences of that are massive. It's a destruction, I think. And I don't even think I'm exaggerating. It's a social, like, catastrophe at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a social catastrophe. I can actually, yeah, I didn't think about this, but now that you've said it, I see a lot of younger generations struggle to actually really convey their feelings when they speak. I completely agree.
Yeah.
They're neither Nepali nor English, and it's,
exactly.
I understand, yeah.
And we are sort of stuck in this mid language where we use Nepali words and we use English words, and we don't know either of them perfectly, you know? There's no one, like, I think because of English medium schools, at least most of the people I am in contact with are really regretful that they don't know how to speak Nepali as well as a mother tongue should be spoken.
I agree, because every word I say creates an emotion or a feelings in me, right? So if it's not authentic, if it's not coming from, from my core, then it's not going to be effective, and it's going to have a disastrous effect. I agree, but I had never thought about this this way.
Because if you think about it, learning at this point, at this day and age, I can see the use of an English medium school some decades ago, you know, but talking about now, there are so many ways to learn English. I feel like for most people who use a phone, English, most people know English just like this. It's just in the air now. We don't need to do our education system in English anymore. We should now, if you think about it, it's the other way around. Before we did English medium schools because we didn't know how to learn English, so this was a good way. But now we don't know how to learn Nepali. So, like, how do we learn, you know, how does someone who is 20, almost 20 years old, who has spoken in English most of their lives, like me, how do I learn Nepali? How do I learn my mother tongue beyond the, how do I learn to be emotional in my mother tongue? And it's very difficult at this point in life. So for children, if the subjects are taught in Nepali again, there is still hope, you know, for the future generations, so that our language isn't lost forever. Languages do die. People forget that languages do die. Latin has died. Sanskrit, who speaks in Sanskrit like this anymore? Who speaks in all these ancient languages anymore? So languages, they are born, they evolve, and they are extinct. And we need to ask ourselves, are we ready to extinguish Nepali language? I am not ready for that, even though I play such a big part in it by not speaking it, you know, by not speaking it as fluently as I speak English.
Okay, by not speaking it as fluently as you speak English. Tara, it's like, kinabhane tabhale ta aba mother tongue ko kura gararhanu bhayo ni ta. So in Nepal, there are so many different languages, right? So would you then say Nepali and Newari, or Nepali and Tamang, or any other language?
I'm saying Nepali now because it's just like the official language, I guess, but the same argument goes for whatever you consider your own mother language. I know many Newari friends who regret heavily that their parents didn't teach them Newari, you know, now that they're adults.
Yeah.
Any language, really. Yeah. I just use Nepali because it's like how the school system, you know, it's either English or Nepali. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Even for non-Nepali speaking, you know, like kati jana ko huncha ni ta mother tongue Nepali na hunu sakcha, Newari hunu
sakcha,
haina? They have to translate from Newari to Nepali ani bolnu paryo, haina? Tyo garda kheri lai pani there's a lot of barrier Nepali bolda kheri pani. Yadi school ma chai English ko thau ma chai Nepali ani tespachi athwa Newari athwa अरू नेपाली अरू नेपाली भाषाहरूमा फोकस गर्यो भने awesome. Nice suggestion.
अनि that is my biggest wish, because that is what I wish I had.
And I completely agree कि it has a very negative effect. On a lighter note, if you were invisible for like 1 week, what would you do?
If I were invisible for a week, like literally invisible, I would probably go to all those places where I have a hard time going because I don't look Nepali and people just assume that I'm a foreigner, and so I can't go like to Pashupati Mandir, you know, like what the fuck. And so I'd go to Pashupati Mandir probably, or to like all those other temples who only people who look Nepali can go in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. malai chai kaha kaha baba, it's probably not worth it. I probably shouldn't say that. हामी सबैजनाको साइकल हुन्छ नि त, अघि तपाईँले पनि भन्नुभयो, राइट? यु अन अ हाई एन्ड देन यु गो अन अ लो, राइट? हामी सबै नेपाली भन्नुभयो, ह्युमन बिइङ्सहरू चाहिँ वी गो struggle with difficult or bad times. Ani kati jana lai chai, when they go through a low time, they can get out of it quite easily, haina? Koi 10 minute ma they can bounce back. Kati lai 2-4 ghanta lagla, kati lai 2-3 din lagla. What is your strategy of bouncing back from, you know, low feeling or feeling of
I'm not sorry, can you repeat that? Sorry.
Okay, so jab chai hami low feel garera huncha ni ta, so kati jana 5-10
minute ma
they can bounce back.
Kati jana chai the last ko part matra you froze ke.
What is your strategy of getting out of that spiral, okay? where you I'm not enough, athwa I'm not good enough?
I think I'm still finding a strategy. I don't think I found the strategy yet. Something that I'm happy about is, pahila, I didn't recognize that I had a pattern. Like, I am really high for a couple of weeks, and then I go really low for a couple of weeks. And now I realize that I have this pattern, Wansani. And so that's already like, I know, okay, this is how I am. I'm high for a couple of weeks, then I'm really low for a couple of weeks. And then after I'm low, I'm high again, Wansani. Tara, I don't really have a strategy to come in and out of it, except that I know that it will pass, you know?
Okay. So that's a strategy as well, right? So, pahila chai, look for a pattern, you know? We all probably have a pattern, and be more mindful.
We probably do. key pattern, key triggers, unsani, like I, for example, I know that when I go to visit certain people or when I'm exposed to a certain environment, then I'm triggered into having a couple of, you know, days of low moodiness, to be aware of like what makes you go high, what makes you go low. I guess analyze, unsani, analyze yourself ho ekdam.
Okay, analyze yourself. I mean, say, Nobilaro Malchen, we took this training together. We had a couple of days of emotional intelligence class, and they advised us to have an emotional journal, a diary. Mm-hmm. Every time you get triggered, or you feel low, you write it down. After a few months, you'll kind of see, okay, what's triggering you, or what's your pattern.
Exactly.
So very similar. Nice.
Emotional journal to thiyena. Tara, I went to, I saw a therapist every week for 3 years, and now I see another therapist less frequently. But therapy ko sessions ma, it's sort of like emotional journals. So kinamone, you go back to think, okay, this happened, why did this happen, what made me react this way, how could I have reacted instead, what should I do. Teso khalko conversation huncha ni therapist ma, therapist sanga. Tara tapaile bhanu bhayeko jasto emotional journal sanga you can do the same thing, haina, like don't be afraid to like go inside, I think. Even though it's scary, like step by, even this step by step, everything is step by step.
Ah, nice. Everything is step by step. So it's on a step list, it is all these points, right? So we're at the end. Exactly.
It keeps a team mathi samapugnu sagdainani, step by step matriyo.
Exactly. So otherwise it'll be too overwhelming, you know? So we're at the end of the session. I just have two questions. One is, how do you deal with failures? Okay? If things don't go plan, what do you tell yourself? What do you do? Do you write? Do you sing? Do you dance? Or do you, what's your strategy?
I guess my mood is very heavily affected when I fail at something, and my like self-esteem really dips down. And I haven't really found a proper way of dealing with failure, I think, so far. But something that I always try to do, and not only when I failed at something, but when I'm not satisfied or when I know that I didn't do it as well as I could have, unsani, I try even there to think why, how, this, to analyze that as well. I do analyze a lot. I realize talking with you.
Okay.
I don't know how messy that is. Yeah.
Last question. एकजना चाहिँ भनौँ न गाउँको स्कुलमा चाहिँ यु वेन्ट टु भिजिट होइन अनि अ गर्ल मेबी यु नो 12-13 इयर्स कम्स एन्ड टक्स टु यु अनि उसले भने कि आज दिदी मैले चाहिँ क्लासमा एउटा प्रेजेन्टेसन दिइरहेको थिएँ अनि प्रेजेन्टेसन दिँदा दिँदै चाहिँ आई जस्ट फ्रोज मलाई चाहिँ एकदम हातहरू काम्न थाल्यो स्पिक मलाई एकदम डरले चाहिँ nervously I completely froze. Aba malai presentation bhanepachi I malai ekdamai dar lagcha aba dekhi ma kahile pani life mai presentation dinna aru
bhagani. That's like me, that 12 year old girl is me. Tara I think prepare pahila kina bhane mero lagi pani presentation bhanne kura was mero school life ma sab bhanda garo भन्ने हुन्छ नि, क्लासको अगाडि गएर बोल्ने त्यस्तो एकदम गाह्रो मान्थेँ म. अनि बिस्तारै स्कुलमा चाहिँ एकदम फोर्स गर्थ्यो नि मलाई, यस्तो गर्नुपर्छ, यु हेभ टु डु दिस भनेर. अनि मैले देखेको चाहिँ अब जति राम्रो राम्रोसित प्रे के भन्छ, नट प्रेजेन्टेसन, प्रिपरेसन जति राम्रो प्रिपरेसन गर्छ त्यति राम त्यति राम्रो हुन्छ प्रेजेन्टेसन पनि. अब तर प्रिपरेसन क्यान बी एनिथिङ, आइ एम नट जस्ट सेइङ कन्टेन्टको प्रिपरेसन, त्यो त छुट्टै कुरा भयो होइन, तर युआर ओन प्रिपरेसन लाइक थिङ्क सुरुमा नो वाट यु वन्ट टु से वेन यु गो अन स्टेज कि वेन यु गो इन फ्रन्ट अफ द क्लास. Be aware where you want to begin and where you want to end up, you know. Ani bichama if esto gadbad gadbad huncha, it's just natural jasto lagcha. As long as esto freeze huncha bhane, don't think oh I'm freezing testo bhanda pani like ekdam take a deep breath, you know, and remember where you are, what you're there for. And presentations, it's fine if you pause, hunchha ni, it's fine if you take a couple of seconds to think about what you want to say next. Presentation doesn't mean you have to be like a TED talk ko manche or like hunchha ni just, or like that's not your job. You're not hunchha ni, like it's okay if you look at your notes, take a break, say just a moment. Rather than if you feel like you're forgetting something and you feel like you're almost freezing, say just a moment, look at your notes, baru, and then continue. I think that is something that I do, that I'm trying to do, that I try to do. Yeah.
Okay. Something you try to do. So Mayaji, your strategy chai presentation back or can you use in a socks hola?
धेरै कुराहरूमा अब लाइक कन्भर्सेसन विथ पिपल, मेबी गाह्रो कन्भर्सेसनहरू, कि इभन काममा वेन यु निड टु जस्तो राइट नाउ आई जस्ट स्टार्टेड टिचिङ इङ्ग्लिस एज अ फरेन ल्याङ्ग्वेज एन्ड फर्स्ट डे डेमा आई वाज सो फ्रोजन, भन्दा पनि आई वाज सो नर्भस एन्ड केओटिक हुन्छ नि लाइक जस्ट अल ओभर द प्लेस खालको. एन्ड देन for the next day ko class I wrote down like okay first I want to do this for 5-10 minutes, then I want to do this, then I want to do this, and I was still very nervous and chaotic. I'm not saying I was a nervous and chaotic, but it was a bit better. And I think we started, you know, like this to khalko scenarios ma'am.
Awesome thank you Mayaji. Maile chai aaja mero lagi chai मेरो लागि चाहिँ बिगेस्ट लेसन भने चाहिँ यु टेन टु चङ्क एभ्रिथिङ डाउन होइन, ठुलो पिक्चरलाई यु ब्रेक इट डाउन. अहिले लास्टको कुरा गर्दाखेरि पनि, क्लासको कुरा गर्दाखेरि पनि यु सेड ओके फर्स्ट 5 मिनट्समा के गर्ने, 10 मिनट्समा के गर्ने, इन्स्टेड अफ लुकिङ एट थिङ. सो आई लभ द्याट स्ट्राटेजी, सानसानो
मिस गर्ने.
द्याट्स बिन वान अफ माई बिगेस्ट लर्निङ टुडे.
It's my biggest learning as well. I mean, it's something that I try. It's not easy to like consciously let me break this down, you know, like because I get very anxious in front of tasks or in front of things that I need to do. I feel extremely blocked and anxious by like fear of failure, I guess. And it's a breakdown. When I break down, I'm like easy. It makes it easier for me, so I tend to break down and this, yeah.
Nice. So Mayaji, kunai maile chai question sodhya bhe aja yo conversation aja ramro hunthyo jasto lagcha, athwa do you feel like I missed the question katai pani, please question so that answer pani gardinus.
us no, I feel like the only thing with this conversation is that it's only 1.5 hours long. I feel like I could have a whole I could talk a whole afternoon with you and chat with you.
Thank you. यो चाहिँ अब 1.5 hours भने पनि इट्स क्वाइट पुसिङ होइन अहिलेको
बेलामा
भिडियो चाहियो भनिरहेको हुन्छन्. सो वी डु इज यसलाई फेरि हामी हरेक क्वेसन अनुसार चाहिँ सानसानो पिस बनाएर चाहिँ वी अपलोड देम अगेन होइन.
I would love it if you could send me the full version if it's possible.
A full version say it's live, your YouTube link me, so the link that you, yeah, It should be
Okay.
there.
Nice.
Okay, so thank you so much, Mahaji.
Okay.
Lovely conversation. भने नि
Yeah.
कुनै ब्रेक 1 hour 25 minutes गइसक्यो रहेछ. थ्याङ्क यू फर अल द लर्निङ. अवसम टाइम यति भन्दै
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me, and thank you for everything that you do and what Coach Me is doing. And thank you for giving voice to people my age who are so often underestimated. Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you bhanne pardaina. So what we've also discovered is धेरै यङ मान्छेहरूको आइडियाजहरू पनि देयर क्वाइट इन्साइटफुल के. वी अलवेज काइन्ड अफ टेन्ड टु थिङ्क ओल्डर जेनेरेसनलाई बढी थाहा हुन्छ, उनीहरू वाइजर हुन्छ भन्ने हुन्छ होइन. तर दे आर अलरेडी यङ्गर जेनेरेसन अल्सो दे हेभ गन थ्रु सो मच, हामी सोच्दैनौँ. तर दे अल हेभ अमेजिङ स्ट्राटेजिज, दे हेभ गन थ्रु अमेजिङ प्रब्लम्स एन्ड दे हेभ सल्भ देट एन्ड दे हेभ ओभरकम अ लट अफ थिङ्स. यु क्यान लर्न फ्रम देम. हामीले यो एक्सपिरियन्स पनि गरेका छौँ, एकदम गजब गजबको युथहरूसँग कन्भर्सेसन गरिरहेको छ, अनि त्यसले चाहिँ हामीलाई पनि एनर्जी दिन्छ, इन्सपायर गर्छ. र त्यही कारणले पनि इट्स अ बिट सेल्फिस अन आवर पार्ट एज वेल. त्यति थ्याङ्कफुल भइरहनु पर्दैन, वी आर स्टिलिङ आइडियाज यहाँ.
ओके, ल लेट्स कीप इन कन्ट्याक्ट.
या एब्सोल्युटली.
ओके, बाई.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Bye. Namaste. Okay, everyone, aile chain end of the show. Aaja Mahaji hununthyo. Had an awesome time talking to her. Feri hami next week feri pani aune chu arko Genji ko session liera. Yo Saturday mentoring 101 cha. हेर्न नबिर्सिनु होला, सब्सक्राइब गर्नुहोस् प्लिज. सब्सक्राइब गर्नुभयो भने हामीले अरू पनि यस्तै इन्ट्रेस्टिङ पर्सनालिटिजहरू तपाईँहरूको अगाडि लिएर आउन सक्छौँ, जोबाट चाहिँ हामीले धेरै कुरा सिक्न सक्छौँ. यति भन्दै नमस्ते अनि गुड नाइट. आई विल सी यु सुन अगेन.